This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. And let me tell you, the next hour, of course, is dedicated to the Hammers, but there's a few tensions in the studio. There's a few tweets flying around. There is lots to be made of the game on the weekend. VAR, points dropped, big team mentality, Pellegrini's power play, there's words for it all. We'll be getting to the bottom and finding out those answers. But as always, you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp on the same number. It's your team, your voice. Tonight, we're going to be doing a Palace review. We're going to be doing the famous West Ham quiz. Lots at stake to play for there. And also, delighted to say, Jeff Pike, former West Ham legend, will be joining us on the line. Great to have a chat with him about all things where the Hammers are concerned. Let's get into the Palace review. Before we get into the game, because James is already laughing, I think we have to start at the very top. After the result, and I want to know your thoughts on the performance, because it was such a disappointing result when West Ham were flying. They could, you know, at the top end of the table, doing well. James Jones, at by James Jones, it's good, James Jones by James Jones, tweeted this. West Ham fans keep hearing about a big team mentality at the club, yet to see it. Big team mentality means you don't lose to Palace at home when 1-0 up. We just did. We are not a big club. We don't have a big club mentality. I do not want to hear it anymore. Obviously, that went slightly viral, shall we say, across the Twitter sphere after the result. And notably, your co-host, your friend, your comrade, felt a little bit differently, Will.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think we still love each other, don't we, James?
Oh yeah, I'll never fall out of love for you.
Oh, good.
I'll never fall out of love for you.
That. No, so my response, I think me and James were both in, well, I think what it was born from, we were both pretty angry because I was wound up about the game, but mine was, sorry, but we were a mindless handball and a few millimetres away from being third in the league. We had 7 points after 8 games last season. This season we've got 12 from 8. Perspective, please, Jonesy. And I mean, you had a lot more reaction off of it than just me being a clown,
I did.
Didn't you?
I did have a few.
254 likes. There's quite a few people that agree with you, James.
I don't think they were liking what I was saying.
Right.
The ratio weren't great. I wanted more retweets on that. 38 retweets.
If I was on there, mate, I would have been with
thanks,
you.
Thanks, mate. No, thing is, though, I mean...
So go on, what did you think?
Well, like? I mean, I just want to point out, I did write that after about 8 pints. So
it was a mindless drinking session a few millimetres away, and then you might not have put that.
Yeah, and I don't think many people saw until Bianca Westwood retweeted, and that was it.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, cheers, yeah. Bianca. But... No, I think I don't regret what I said because I still feel quite strongly about this, and everyone knows about my thoughts on this whole big team mentality thing. It's good that Pellegrini's trying to instill that attitude and that mentality into the squad, but to constantly come out and keep talking about it is really, at the beginning it was quite refreshing to hear last season. It was like, brilliant, we've got a manager that actually wants to do that, kind of in line with what we're trying to achieve with the football club since the stadium move and everything else. But then, yeah, okay, barring a couple of wins against top six teams, we haven't really seen it. And don't get me wrong, we've had a really good start to the season. We've only lost 2 of our first 8 league games. One of those was on the first day of the season against City. So I'm not at any minute saying that we're struggling, we're having a bad season, it's a disgrace, Pellegrini out. I'm not saying that. But if you want to say that we've got a big team mentality and the players are really, really going for it and, you know, we're finally here. And I fell into the trap a couple of weeks ago. I said, this is finally the West Ham that we were promised, blah, blah. And then suddenly you're 1-0 up with 25 minutes to go out in the Palace and you lose 2-1 because of one, giving away a silly penalty. And then, okay, we can't do anything about the VAR thing. It is what it is. It's here to stay. Like, just got to swallow it.
Do you not agree with it? You're saying it like you don't agree with it.
Well, I mean, it was close, wasn't it? I mean,
we've seen
very similar, very, very close decisions given offside.
Fair.
This season. Have we?
Yeah, we have.
I was generally quite happy to let you go because I thought you were. But, I mean, making sense. But it was offside. Onside.
It was onside. Yeah. But we've seen other ones that gone. Actually, no, he's offside because they've been quite close. If you ever look at, I think it's the Tottenham one with the Serge Aurier goal that got ruled out.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah.
It's much of a match. It's millimeters, isn't it? And you know, so we can't do so much about the VR. But giving away a silly penalty like that and. We should have had the game put to bed. We missed a couple of chances, and it just frustrated me on the night, and I'm sure it frustrated a lot of other West Ham fans. I took it a little bit too far after 8 pints, going on the Twitter and just venting my frustration. All my mates are having a go at me going, what are you talking about, mate? And Will does the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, I don't regret what I said, but I probably shouldn't have said it at the time.
James, we always want you to rant on this show. Look at the Spurs and the Spurs fan show. It's been therapy for them for weeks. It won't get any better. So if you want 5 minutes to get it all off your chest, we're more than happy for you to do that. Before we talk a little bit about the game and before we get Will's thoughts, I just wanted to ask that you mentioned we're not a big club, we're not a big team mentality if you can't beat Palace at home, but big teams with big team mentalities can slip up on a day and lose to opposition like that.
This is where it annoyed me even more. After I tweeted that, because
Will is desperate.
Everyone's going, but yeah, but we're not a big club. No one said we're a big club. And I was like, I haven't said that anyone said we're a big club.
Pellegrini
said that he wants to instill a big club mentality. That's not saying he wants to turn us into a big club. And I never said that we were a big club. And loads of people come back to me and go, well, I don't remember any fans saying we're a big club. It's like, well, I haven't said that anyone has said that. All I'm saying is that if we're going to keep hearing about this big club mentality, then you can't lose 2-1 at home when you're 1-0 up at home. I know big clubs do lose 2-1 at home to clubs. And I know what Will's going to come out in a bit. I mean, City lost against Wolves at home at the weekend. That was a shock result. And I'm pretty sure, was it you that tweeted me or someone else tweeted me and said, I wonder whether City fans wonder whether they're a big club or not after that result.
That wasn't
my point. My point is that you don't get Pep Guardiola coming out every week going, we're trying to get a big club mentality. That was my problem.
They're already there, though, aren't they?
I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that we're a massive club and we shouldn't be losing to Palace. Palace deserved it, I think. Yeah, we messed up a little bit. They probably deserved it on the day. And that's it. I had 8 pints. I was a little bit annoyed and I tweeted something and I jumped the gun a little bit. But I don't regret what I said. I still mean what I said.
Right, Will, it is your time to the dance floor. You've not had much to say in reply of the game and of James Jones.
Well, first of all, the one that made me laugh, which I thought actually might be the end for me and James, because I hadn't quite had 8, but I'd probably had about 5. I was chatting to a mutual friend of mine and James's, who I went to the game with afterwards, and we were talking about the tweets, but I wasn't laughing about it. And my mate pointed out to me that Bayern Munich also lost 2-1 at home to Hoffenheim at the weekend. Hoffenheim are mid-table, and Bayern Munich are obviously a big club in Germany. I just think it just really annoyed me, not just from James, to be fair, but I went on Twitter afterwards, and it had just blown up. Like, everyone is, we're a disgrace, da da da. And I think ultimately the game, Palace will be all right this season. I thought I was, you know, before, up until the game, having not seen them, I thought we were going to struggle a little bit. Sorry, that they were going to struggle a little bit, but they'll be all right. They were really disciplined. The defensive work was outstanding. They kept their shape really well. And I think from that perspective, they surprised me. Ultimately, though, we should have finished our chances. I think that was a difference in the game. I don't think we were a disgrace. I think that's probably one of the tougher teams we've come up against this season, because it's one of the first teams who have just sat back. Norwich weren't like that. They came out and attacked. When we played Brighton away and Watford away, obviously because they are the home team, they came out and attacked us a bit, so left some space behind. I think they were the first team probably this season who have just sat back and gone, nope, we want a point. We've come here for a point and that's it. We did struggle to break them down, but ultimately we had two gilt-edged chances other than one we scored, which was Haller's in the first half, which was easier to score than the one he eventually did, and he missed it. And then Lanzini had one that felt him on the edge of the box, and all I could see was Lanzini scores 500th goal against Palace because he loves a goal against them. And he sort of scuffed into the floor and shanked it wide. He didn't have a good game. And I just think it's really wound me up that everyone was sort of, it was massive, absolute nightmare. And like I said, those stats of where we were last season, 7 after 8 games, and we've now got 12 from 8.
I think I agree with you. From me watching the game, it was the late kickoff. It was on TV. You know, I thought West Ham played well enough to win the game, to get the 3 points. They had the chances. Although Palace, you know, I have to give them credit as well. But speaking to Steve Thompson just before we done the show on Love Sport Drive, he said, from a West Ham perspective, you know, they played well, they had the chances. They just didn't come away with the points. He said, it's annoying, but it's more of a worrying concern when West Ham had totally played off the park, you know, terrible day at the office. And then we're like, oh, where's this come from? But it wasn't that type of performance, was it, Will?
No. And I honestly think that we have now got the amount of we've got the exact amount of points we deserve, I think, because we got, in my opinion, we got a point away at Villa that we didn't deserve. They were the better team than us on the night. We were lucky to escape there. And a point away at Brighton that we probably didn't deserve either. Two games where we have been the second best team on the pitch and come away with something. At the weekend, I would say, yeah, we probably were slightly better. But again, it depends what you think is better, because Palace were excellent at executing their plan. Well, not even that. Just you could tell exactly what they'd been told before, and every single player on the pitch, bar none, had an excellent game in line with what Hodgson had told them before. He would have gone in afterwards and 100% been gone, God, I don't know how we've got 3 points there, but you lot did excellent to execute exactly what I'd asked you before. And, you know, I don't think they deserve to win the game, but they did play well. We should have scored our chances. If we were 2-0 up at half-time, you never know, dear. But I just don't think it's as much of an absolute disaster as everyone was making out in the week.
It's not a disaster for Will. He said, you know, good performance, unlucky not to get the points. Crystal Palace, they executed their game plan. They nullified West Ham. You know, they done what Roy Hodgson set them out to do. For you, James, it is a disgrace, minus you had...
I don't think it's a disgrace. I don't think it's a disgrace.
You did have 8 points.
It just annoyed me after a few beers.
I'm surprised you weren't on the champagne, though, because I know what hospitality's like. I'm surprised you was on the 8 points.
I weren't in hospitality this week. I wish I was. It would be comfier.
In the interest of a compromise and to make sure that our blossoming romance isn't shot dead, James, I think what about if we settle on a bigger team mentality, i.e. the mentality of a bigger team than we were last season, because we are doing better and things are looking up.
You two definitely need to settle it. But when we're talking about this big team mentality, James, is this every time now West Ham aren't, you know, it's an off day, you know, bad day at the races, you know, not quick at the starting blocks? Are you always going to put it down to this big team mentality? Because results like this can happen, you know. West Ham are going to find bumps in the road when they're trying to, you know, move on and upwards.
Yeah, no, I absolutely get that. And I agree that, you know, it does, this sort of thing happens to big teams. We saw City against Wolves, we've already mentioned. I mean, look at Man United right now. Look at Tottenham right now. So, I mean, I'm not saying that big clubs with big club mentality should never lose a football match, because that's not true. There's football, isn't it? Things happen. But I don't know. I just think that everything that we've been promised, and, you know, and we were really, really excited going into that game, because we could have gone third, could have gone fourth. Leicester lost at Liverpool, gave us a big chance. And, you know, I just think that if we were to lose to... If we'd have lost to United a couple of weeks ago,
I think the cup defeat was more bad from this whole big team mentality than this defeat to Crystal Palace.
And we did
talk
about it.
An established Palace side. You losing to Oxford, forget the score. That was more of the...
We did talk about that as well. I did question it then as well. I thought, you know, you can't keep talking about it and then go and field a team like that and then lose 4-0 to Oxford.
But joking aside, Palace are fourth.
They're a good side.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, like... Okay, Palace didn't come out and attack us. You know, they had their tactics and they nullified our threat. We missed a couple of really, really clear chances in the first half, which would have put the game to bed before half time. Even before we scored that great goal in the second half, really, really wonderful goal. And you know, so that's our fault for only being 1-0 up when they got that penalty. But then silly penalty to give away, and then the VAR things, So. Yeah, I'm not gonna. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna tweet like that every week after we've lost to Bournemouth or Brighton or whatever happens. But you know, it just annoyed me at the time.
Can I quickly ask? Because you talk about the penalty, you said a fluke pen. I don't know who's put that. Was it a fluke? When you say fluke,
it's not a fluke pen. Sorry, he's put his arm up.
It was me. But what by fluke I meant more of a, that's a 1 in 100 games Declan's going to do that. Yeah, you know, I just thought it was.
But why? It was. It felt like it was. A daft thing to do.
It was a rush of blood, wasn't it? It was one of those things that, you know, in the heat of the moment on a football pitch, just happens, doesn't it? Mm. And for all the good things that Rice has done this year, I didn't really hear anyone coming out and digging him out too severely after the game, and rightfully so. That was kind of my point, to be honest. I just think it was just one of those once in a, you know, flash in the pan things, splash in the pan, whatever the phrase is, but just once in a blue moon thing where you go, oh, that's so annoying, that's so irritating. Really, it was probably a draw may have been a fair result.
Well, we've been talking all about the game. Someone who will know just a little bit more than us, we'd delight to say Jeff Pike, former West Ham legend, will be joining us next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. Well, we just had a heated discussion. I think James and Will were friends. They didn't say much in the break. I've got to be honest, I was a little bit scared, but maybe after Will pulls it level on the quiz, then it could be getting a lot worse. We'll see. A lot to play for. James doesn't want to say much. But we've talked about the game. Was it a point dropped? 3 points dropped? But they're really, you know, they're pleased with where they are in the season so far. Someone who will know more about that, I'm delighted to say, joining us on the phone now, Jeff Pike, former West Ham legend. Jeff, thank you for giving us a little bit of your time this evening. A disappointing defeat on the weekend. What did you make of it?
Good evening, by the way. It's obviously where I work, which is with the Football Association. I obviously had quite close contact with Roy on several occasions through his international career. And one of the big things that he had was about organising his team and getting people organised from a defensive perspective. And you could see that he'd actually worked extremely hard with the players to get that right. And they were difficult to break down. So it was going into the game, I thought that, yeah, it would be really good to win. But I had a real big doubt that there was going to be some upset along the line because of the way they were organised.
Evening, Jeff. No, I kind of totally agree with you on that one, to be honest. I think a win probably still did flatter them, to be honest, because that was probably their two chances of the game. We were a little bit wasteful with the few that we did have, but I was really impressed with Palace. I thought they were really organised. One thing, what do you think sort of generally at the moment? Because we had sort of a little bit of a disagreement in the studio about the position that the team are in now, and you know, from my point of view, it looks like quite a lot of progress. We're still eighth, although it's a disappointing result. We're still eighth, 12 points from 8 games. Unbeaten away from home. Last season we'd had those 4 defeats on the bounce. I think we had 7 points from this position last year. How do you think the club are looking generally at the moment?
I think you've got to be careful. I think, you know, at the moment, they're possibly flattering to deceive a little bit. I mean, if you look at the fixtures that they've had, the one big game that they've had against Man City, they've got beat 5-0. You know, so the other teams like Brighton, Watford, etc., etc., Villa, you know, are in and around that area where they're middle-of-the-table type teams, along with West Ham. And they're fighting it out amongst themselves to get into the top half of the table. So there's like 2 groups of clubs. There's the top sort of 5 or 6, and there's the other ones. The next ones down, which West Ham, in my opinion, fit into. And it's whether they finish top of that group or whether they finish halfway down that group. So the fixtures so far, I think, you know, the teams that they've played, are those teams in and around that area? I think the one disappointment for me was the loss against Oxford, because I think, you know, with West Ham, they're not going to win the Premier League title. So their one route for success is the cup competitions. And it really disappoints me when teams go out and it's either a weakened team because of who they're playing or what competition it is. And I think West Ham should go full out and put their foot hard down on the pedal and go and try and win one of these cup competitions.
Yeah, I agree on the cups, Jeff. Just to pull you up quickly on that, when you said about the top 5 or 6 teams there, do you still think even this season that we're, you know, that it is quite as black and white as that? And maybe Arsenal and Chelsea are looking better than I think most people thought. But certainly Manchester United are one of those that would have been considered the top 6. I wouldn't be surprised if we finished above them.
I'm not disputing that. It's this mentality of what people have around what that looks like. So if you look at historically So last season, the top six, for example, they tend to play out amongst themselves who's going to finish in that in those top four areas. So whilst I don't disagree with what you're saying, I still think that, you know, we've played eight games. You know, there's still a hell of a long way to go. And, you know, it's going to come down to the games that you play against those teams that are allegedly, in inverted commas, the top six sides that are going to invariably are going to be battling it out for the major prizes at the end of the season.
Evening, Jeff. Do you not think though that, you know, given what, you know, the way that the likes of United have been this season, Tottenham haven't been great, and you know there's definitely at least two of that top six really up for grabs.
Absolutely.
Do you think that, absolutely, you know, this is, surely this is, if there's ever a season that West Ham are going to break that top six, it's this season, right?
Potentially. But what I want to sort of redirect you to, and I'm not trying to be negative in any way. We did a huge amount of work last year on, and I had a conversation with Trevor Brooking about this at an event that we did up in Norwich. And he commented in front of the audience that there was a West Ham had improved defensively, but the statistics actually said that West Ham were the worst team in the Premier League at defending against corners. So is that part of defending? In my opinion, yes. Yeah. I still think that West Ham are vulnerable defensively. They don't seem to have that cohesion. So if we take Palace as an example, you could see the way they'd been drilled to be able to stop the opposition from getting anywhere near their goal or trying to score. Whereas I think West Ham is very much off the cuff. I don't see any real organisation in the respect of what they're supposed to be doing. I can't see a pattern of how they defend. So I find that, whilst I'm trying not to be as negative, I still think that I'm trying to be realistic rather than negative, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. I completely agree on that. Certainly on the defensive side, I think the, you know, a few other people who support different clubs who aren't watching them in as much detail as we obviously are each week have come to me already this season, gone, "Oh, you look loads better at the back." And it's like, well, no, I think we've just got a few fortunate clean sheets which make us look a lot better. And I certainly think Fabianski had been bailing out a couple of the defenders.
Sure.
And, you know, without him, I think we'll be in a bit of trouble. But what do you think then going forward? What's sort of, for considering all that you've just said, what do you think is a realistic, you know, goal for the rest of the season then?
Well, it comes down to expectation, doesn't it? And, you know, I've had numerous conversations with different people that have been in different positions at different football clubs, and they go in there as a manager, and the expectation of what the club can achieve throughout that season is agreed at the start, for example. So the board and the manager will get together and they'll say, right, well, this is our goal and target. This is where we're going to aim for. When things like this happen and West Ham get into the top five or six, expectation changes because it's human nature. So the fans' expectation is, well, you go into the season and you think, OK, if we finish in the top half, we'll have done OK. We, you know, that's where we sort of sit within the hierarchy of football at the moment. But now, because we're in the top four, five, six, people are going, oh, we can do really well. So expectation changes. And I think you've got to be wary of changing that expectation, because then what happens is people then get on the slippery slope of going in the opposite direction. So, you know, the fans will start getting on the back of the players because they're not performing as their expectation has given them because of their I won't say false league position, but elevated league position at this present time. But I would like to think that certainly top half would be the right sort of expectation for the club. And it may be that it's sort of seventh or eighth or whatever, and just missing out in that top six. I don't know. You know, it's early days, isn't it? So we've only played eight games.
Yeah, it certainly is. Jeff, we really appreciate you giving us a little bit of time this evening. Thanks for coming on. Jeff Pike there, former West Ham legend. Always good to hear what he thinks he's saying. Just a little bit more realism, maybe that elevated position, slowly but surely, because it still has been a very good season for West Ham so far. We're going to be talking about that. How do they feel after eight games gone and going into that second international break? It's all coming up next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. And as always, you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. And also, if you really want, you can watch us on YouTube. We're streaming the show and also you can get involved. And I believe so far, some people have, James, haven't they?
Yeah, Neil from Down Under.
Unbelievable.
We've got a fan down under.
Evening, Neil.
You've got a fan, I don't know about Will.
Good morning, Neil.
It's my fan. They'll give him a wave as well.
Yeah, it's good morning.
Good morning. It's 4:47 when he commented on Wednesday morning. And he's asked a question.
Wednesday morning.
Neil said, do you think Haller is being too isolated up front when we're attacking?
It's funny, because when I was putting the running order together earlier on, and I was considering, well, for this segment actually, I was considering whether to do it on Haller, because I was a little bit, I know he scored, I was a little bit disappointed with him again on the weekend, and I just thought, from my perspective, that's three games in a row where I've been a bit like, oh.
When you say disappointed, Will, what exactly do you mean?
Well, just, I mean, the missed chance in the first half, that was really annoying, because it was one, and I said it at Aston Villa away, that was... it was 0-0 and it was one of those games where not a lot was happening, and that's when you need your £45 million man to step up and do something. He really didn't then. He was just average, didn't change the game at all. And I just felt at the weekend again, it was one of those games where it was so tight. We've touched on it enough times already that Crystal Palace were really well drilled, and there will be more games like that this season, make no mistake about it. And in those games, you have to be clinical and take your chances. And I thought that one in the first half, that wasn't a half chance that Aguero would put in and you go, oh, that's outstanding. He was like 5 yards out. And then just a little bit frustrated. I don't know. I'm just haven't been, whoa, he's 45 million quid's worth. That's
well, if I thought they were going to fall out maybe at the start of the show with a few tweets from James Jones. James looks like he's about to launch a staunch defence of the main man up front.
Yeah, I just think that everyone's expecting Haller to, you know, to change football matches. He's not that type of striker. I think, you know, we were lucky in the fact when we had Arne. I don't really like saying his name anymore, but I've had to. when we had Arne out,
say Arne might be back.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah,
that's nice. Oh, that's good. Boom, boom. Brilliant, Charlie.
Come on. Well done. That's quite good for you. when we had Arne Outovich, you know, he could change a game on his own. He could get the ball. He could take the game by the scruff of his neck and go for it and score goals and beat players on his own and score goals. Haller's not that type of player. Haller needs the service to change games. Haller needs the service. He needs the creative players behind him, like Anderson, like Lanzini, to create chances for him. Yeah, they create that chance that he missed in the first half. Should have scored it. But, I mean, he scored more the chances he's had than he's missed this season. You know, he scored, what, four in... what, seven in the Premier League. It's a pretty good return for a striker that's just rocked up in the Premier League for the first time. So to say that, you know, he didn't change the game, you know, it was the sort of game where you wanted your £45 million striker to, yeah, if you had Arnautovic on the pitch or you had Aguero or you know, a striker with that kind of, you know, ilk, then, yeah, fair enough. But Haller's not the sort of player that is going to sit there at 0-0 with an hour to go and go, right, give me the ball, I'm gonna go and beat three or four players. That's the sort of game where Felipe Anderson should have been looking at it, going, right, it's 0-0, we got an hour to go, right, we're gonna win this game. He's gonna get the ball and he's gonna put the right balls in the box, or he's gonna score a goal, he's gonna beat three or four players and put a nice ball in the box. And he didn't do that. For me, Felipe Anderson was the disappointing aspect of the team at the weekend. He didn't show us why we paid so much money for him last summer or two summers ago. And we've already seen that he's capable of doing it. He's not consistent enough. So I think Anderson is the one that we've got to be pointing fingers at.
Do you think Neil's right then? Do you think Neil's right? When he said isolated, do you think that's what it is? Do you think it's an isolation thing or just think more of a service?
I have felt in previous games a little bit on Saturday as well, but particularly against Villa, away at Villa, too isolated for me. Way too isolated. We need to get players closer to him, the likes of Lanzini, the likes of Anderson. They're the players that are going to make things happen for Haller. They're the players that are going to get him the goals. Play out wide, Frederick's given him two assists, I think, this season. Lanzini's given him one. Or Anderson's given him one. So that's what happens. If you get the players out wide, or you give the players to Lanzini, give the ball to players like Lanzini and Anderson, he's going to score goals more often than not. But if you're not going to give them the ball, or they're not going to be creative enough to give him the ball, then you can't really blame him because, you know, as Neil said, you know, he has been isolated more often than not.
Let's quickly talk about another incident from the game. There was a lot made. Zaha potentially, well, I say potentially, but the spitting incident. What do we know of that, Will? Have you seen it and what did you make of it?
I mean, I only saw it when James tweeted it out soon after the game. And I must admit, it's one of those where he can easily say, and as you know, that he hasn't spat at him. He hasn't, but he spat in his direction, right? You know, in my humble opinion, for what it's worth. Having seen the footage, there's no, you know, he's looking right at the direction of Declan Rice, who's just had the better of him, and he spat in his direction. Yeah, he hasn't, it probably was nowhere near him, it probably didn't hit him, but it's just the general body language and the gesture of it. It wasn't a nice thing to see, put it that way.
It wasn't nice. I had my say on Twitter about it. I thought it's feral behaviour from a professional footballer, from anyone really. It's something you don't really expect to see. His excuse was everyone does it in terms of spitting on a football pitch.
It's the style, isn't it? That's like, well, no,
it doesn't make it right. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things, doesn't make it right. Regardless of whether you're spitting at a player or whether you just spit on the floor, for me, I just don't think it's right. You shouldn't be doing it. But yeah, it's the way he kind of arched his back a little bit, and I think he was just a little bit jealous that he got, you know, outpaced by Declan Rice and outmuscled by Declan Rice. This is Wilfried Zaha, you know, pacey little winger. Everyone thinks he's brilliant in the Premier League. Hasn't scored this season, by the way. Everyone thinks he's an amazing footballer. Got outpaced and outmuscled by Declan Rice. Was clearly quite annoyed. At that point, it was 0-0, I think, as well. So, or it might have been 1-0 to us at the time. So he's probably really annoyed. And whenever he comes to West Ham, he gets a lot of stick from the fans. So, was it frustration? Did he do it and then realise, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that, and just tried to cover it up a little bit? I don't know, but I don't think we'll ever know the truth. Of course he's going to deny it, though.
Yeah, no, I do agree, but I have to ask, James, I know we're talking about West Ham. You said Zaha, everyone thinks he's a good little winger. By that, do you not think that he's good, or do you think that he's overrated?
I think he's a good player. I think the way I see it is that if he was that good, he'd have performed at Man United at the time when he went there, being had his chance. And I think he'd have already got a move to another top six club if he was still that good. He hasn't scored for Palace this season, as far as I understand it. And I thought we're led to believe that this guy is one of the best players outside the top six. I'm yet to see anything that suggests that he is one of the best team players in the top six. And that's not me going, oh, because they beat us. I've just never thought, I could see him slotting in well at Man City. When he went to United, he was young, and it was a big move for him at the time. And okay, it probably didn't work out. I mean, for whatever reason, it didn't work out with him. But he's had plenty of time since to earn another move to top six club, regardless of how much Palace have wanted for him, and he hasn't got that move. Why? I don't know. I don't think he's as good as everyone claims him to be.
Mine's quite short and sharp on Zaha. I just think he'd be loads better in a better team, because I think at the moment he's one man trying to do the attacking for four players. I think, and teams know that, teams weigh their defences on the side of the pitch he's on, because they know they don't have to worry about or as much about Jordan Ayew or Benteke or anything like that. Put him in a Arsenal team when Aubameyang's on the other side and Lacazette's in the middle. Bit like the year last year up to Park, I talk about it all the time. Payet was good because teams were also worrying about Lanzini, Sacco and Antonio. I think that's what I think of Zaha anyway.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you're talking about Zaha. When a team like Palace set up to defend and snatch that away point, you like you said, they're going to be compact. They're going to nullify West Ham. They're not really looking to do too much with Zaha. They will try to snatch games, especially away from home. But it's all valid points from James. Let's look at the team, though, going into that second international break. Eighth in the table, 12 points, unbeaten away. You mentioned before that this stage last time you only had 7 points. Is that right, Will?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is better this year. I know it's really disappointing that defeat on the weekend, but you've got to be impressed, because before this, I know fans of any football team are all fickle, because I know last week West Ham are doing really well. They're up there, they're in or around that top four, could be, you know, finish higher than Man United, Spurs are on a terrible run. I still think all of those statements are true. It was just a bad day at the office, but you've got to be pleased where you are heading into this second international break, Will.
Yeah, I think it's one of those sort of periods of the season. I know we had the one international break already, but 8 games is a decent chunk of games, isn't it? We've seen how we fared against. They were fortunate when the fixtures came out. We were looking at these games, going, "Yeah, you want you know, you, well, this is how many points you'd want. And I think if you said, yeah, you'd lose two of them, it might not be the ones that, well, certainly the Man City one. I think the Palace one, you probably may have, you might have flipped that with the Man United one or one of the other away games, be it Bournemouth, Watford, Brighton, Watford, or even Bournemouth, yeah, Palace. Mm-hmm. Any of the away games, we haven't lost away. They're decent teams we've gone up against. I think overall you've got, there's some highs and some lows within it. The lows, obviously, the Fabianski injury, which I think that will...
Big loss.
Yeah, that will, we'll start seeing the effects of that over the next few weeks, I think. And, yeah, the City one, expected. That wasn't unexpected at all. I think the Palace one was unfortunate. I think when we lost to Wolves last season, early on in the season, I remember saying then, everyone was thought it was a nightmare because I'd just come up. I remember saying that won't be as bad of a defeat at the end of the year as it seems now, and I was right because they ended up doing really well. And I think the same will be said of Palace. I think they looked really well organised, really well drilled, and I've changed my tune on them completely. I don't think they'll be anywhere near the relegation zone.
Change of tune for Will there. Will, James, what are the highs and lows for you so far?
Well, I think the highs has got to be the good start to the season that we've had, as Will said. You know, we have had a really good start to the season. Palace was unfortunate, you know. Once I've sobered up a little bit and got over those eight.
Another change of tune for you this time.
Yeah.
And obviously the City game is a City game. It is what it is. You know, you can't really. That was a free hit from the off, wasn't it? But other than that, we've played some good football. You know, beating a Norwich team at the time were pretty good. You know, they were on a bit of a high with Pookie banging the goals in for fun, and we beat them 2-0 nice and easily. A lot of people were a little bit disappointed with the Villa game, didn't get anything at Villa, but Villa's a difficult place to go, particularly under the light, so I was quite happy with that point. So we have done well. It's just then how we react now to another Premier League defeat after doing so well, going unbeaten for, what was it, six games or so. How do we react? The worst possible fixture for me is Everton away, because Everton away's never been a great stomping ground, although last year we did win there.
Sort of half they're not shifted in, that jinx, have
but,
we?
I mean,
they're not in good form, though, are
they?
They're
not in good form, but...
Like, Silver's on the hot seat.
Anyone that knows West Ham United, I know we'll talk about it in a bit, but anyone that knows West Ham United will know that whenever a team isn't in form, the best team for that team to play is West Ham United. Yeah. And everyone knows it. They've got a number of players that haven't played well this season. They'll have the game of their lives on Saturday.
Moyes Keane will bag it.
Not this Saturday. You've got the international break. You've still got a week to go.
In 2 weeks' time. They'll score back. Moyes Keane will score double hat trick. It'll be great for them.
Well,
Marco Silva will be safe.
Marco
Silva will
be
safe for a couple more weeks. But yeah, I just think it's how we react. And if we go to Everton and get 3 points, or even get a point, I'll be happy with it. And we'll just, you know, we'll go from there.
Well, we take a deeper look at that game next week because it is the international break this weekend. But how do you feel going into the international break in terms of when you get a defeat and you go into the international break there, it sort of hangs over that bad taste, but this is a good time to work on things. Last international break, Pellegrini said, you know, we worked on defensive formation, worked on our tackling. You really picked up momentum that time. You were unbeaten apart from that Man City game. Do you feel like, not a good time, Will, to lose, but work on things? How do you feel going into it off the back of that result?
I feel like if we'd have won, I think we'd have been ahead of the curve of or the head of the curve of fan expectation. I think that's how I see it. And I think with that defeat, I think we're smack bang on it. I think if you'd have said to most fans at the beginning of the season, right after eight games, where will you be? I think the majority of them would have gone, yeah, eighth, yeah, lost a couple, yeah, won a handful. I think that's one more than we've lost, which we have done. I think most fans would have said about here. So I think it's hard, and I understand it is hard to shed that feeling of initial disappointment after a game like that. But I think when you take a step back, I think we go, okay, Pellegrini certainly, I think when, you know, he had his book of targets, he would have done with the board and with his coaching staff. I think when they take this time to reflect and calm down a bit and react, they'll go, right, we're exactly where we said we would be. So we're on target. That's all right. And yeah, we would have taken that from the first eight. So this next period now, you know, I know it's a massive football cliche and you'll see it on every single footballer's Twitter after we lose, but we go again.
Are you not a fan of the we go again, the Marcus Rashford, we got to regroup and we go again?
No, I hate all of it, all the absolute drivel that you can literally, you might as well just get the media guy to come out and read it off of a script. But what I did like, not completely off topic, but I loved David De Gea's interview after the Man United Newcastle at the weekend, because fair play, it was the first time in pretty much all season, other than the Matty Longstaff one at the same game, that I've seen two players actually stand there and talk how they feel. So, no, I hate all the "we go again," and I love David De Gea going, "I just don't know."
We hate the "we go again," but we prefer "I just don't know" from David De Gea. Well, of course, next it is the West Ham quiz. That's why you've tuned in. It's what we're waiting for, and the scores and the tensions are riding high.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. What a show it's been. Earlier we spoke to former West Ham legend Jeff Pike about West Ham's brilliant start to the season, but he said, let's keep our feet on the ground, let's not get too carried away. We will try, Jeff. We spoke about that disappointing defeat to Palace on the weekend. But now, though, it's when the show really comes down to crunch time, because it can only be time for the West Ham quiz. Here we go, a bit of tension in the studio. Now, I'm going to explain the quiz very quickly. This is the mystery player quiz. I will give James and Will 5 clues to get a player, and if they get that player, they get a point. There is 3 players, so hopefully it will either be a 2-1 scenario, 3-2, 3-0. Whoever wins, who gets the most players tonight, gets a point. They win that game week, excuse me. In game weeks, James has won 4, Will has won 3. So in game weeks, James is leading 4-3. If the scores are tied, we will go down to who won the most points in those weeks overall. This is at the end of the season, but only if the game weeks are tied. And just because we'll add to the drama on those points, James is winning 12-9, but those scores are only needed if the game weeks are tied. Will, that's what he cares about, because he is only one away from tying it up. James did have a big lead. It is 4-3. This is tonight's edition of the West Ham Mystery Player Quiz. Gents, fingers, buzzers at the ready. I know Will's going to reel off about 10 shouts within the first clue, but here we go. Player one, clue number one. Began playing career at Bournemouth.
Ooh.
Clue number two. Signed by Alan Pardew for £275k in 2004.
Kevin Horlock.
Incorrect.
Andy Melville.
Incorrect.
Oh,
clue number three. They have both had one failed attempt. Clue number three. Played in the FA Cup final.
Crikey.
Clue number four. They are both stumped so far. Clue number four. Wore number 6.
Carl Fletcher?
That is correct.
Dang. Great shout.
Oh no.
Will has taken an early lead. It is 1-0, but as I said, there's 2 more players. James can still win this tonight. But if Will gets the next player, he has tied it overall. The next player. Player number 2, clue number 1.
I'm asking Neil from Down Under for help here.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because clue number 1 for player number 2, their real name is Neil.
Neil Miller?
Clue number 2. Won Hammer of the Year for the 1998-1999 season.
What?
Oh. Clue number 3. 2 spells at the club.
No.
1999 season.
Clue number 4. Played in the 2006 World Cup.
Oh, God.
Clue number 5, your final clue for this player. Player number 2, our mystery player tonight, wore shirt number 1.
Craig Forrest?
No.
McClosco?
No. Real name is Neil. Hammer of the Year, 1998-1999. 2 spells at the club. Played in the
Shaka
2...
Hislop?
That is correct.
Yes!
Will is 2-0 tonight, and it is 4-4. That is what matters in game weeks. It's 4-4. So we will continue playing because points are on offer, and Will also wants to close that deficit. James is absolutely seething in the studio. Can we get the aircon on? Because it is getting hot in here, as Nelly would say. Player number 3, clue number 1. Came through, James is still shaking his head, came through the academy ranks. Clue number 2, made their debut in the 5-0 FA Cup defeat to Nottingham Forest in 2014.
Right, it's all of them, isn't it?
Chris what? Cohen?
No.
It's all of them, yeah, sorry.
Premier League debut in a 0-0 draw with QPR in 2015.
Ooh, Freddie Sears?
No. James, you need a point because it could be a 3-0 here tonight, and it could be...
Premier League debut against QPR when? Sorry.
2015. Clue number four. Only made 5 appearances for the club. Clue number 5.
No.
Clue number 5. Shirt number 32.
Oh, that don't help.
Ah, no.
Do you want a quick rundown?
Yeah, go on.
Came through the academy ranks, made the debut in a 5-0 FA Cup defeat to Nottingham Forest in 2014. Premier League debut in a 0-0 draw with QPR in 2015.
Elliot Lee.
No. Only 5 appearances at the club, wore shirt number 32. James, you need this. Will, tonight the points are in the bag, but overall you would like to get another point.
Love a whitewash.
Which Paul McCallum?
It's correct. Can I just say, Will, if you get
correct?
This tonight... No, that's incorrect. Well, if you got this, it would be 4-4 and 12-all. So you need this. James, if you get this, you can stand the lead in the games.
I mean, it's... I mean,
15, 5 games for the
right,
club.
You've had 5 clues. I've read them twice. Would you like the initials?
Got to be, yeah.
R-B.
Blimey.
Wow. Wow, I mean, this is hard.
People are going to be screaming at the radio. This is probably embarrassing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have Ask the Audience or Phone a Friend, but it's down to you two and you
RB.
Two only. Who do you think it is at home?
Oh. I've just got... My mind has gone black. First name?
Yeah, but then you've got it, haven't you? Shall I try and get another clue why you both think?
Yeah,
very
I mean,
quickly.
Oh, this is the one we got beat.
Sorry
5-0
to everyone at home, by the way. This is extremely embarrassing.
So we,
yeah, you caught
Reece Burke.
That is correct. It is 3-0. Unbelievably, it is 3-0. You didn't see me typing that, did you?
Oh, 3-0.
Right.
Oh,
it is 3-0. And can I just say, for the point of the points exercises, in game weeks, Will was 1-4, James has 1-4, which means we have to look at the score point decider. And it is 12-12. Everything is to play for. James was running away with it. 3-1 up, 4-2 up.
4-1 up.
Yeah, 4-1 up. But it is 4-4 and 12-12. Unbelievably, James has capitulated. He has folded. He has absolutely got nothing in the locker. He is peaked. He just can't get over the line. Will, though, get stronger.
This is what it must feel like to be Tottenham.
3-0. You're on a Tottenham of the West Ham quiz.
Bottled it.
Absolute bottled it.
I was omenosed. I thought that was it. That was my pints at Christmas.
Yeah. You'd lined it. Oh, that is absolute game. Just for the international week as well. That's 8 games.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely outstanding.
I've got to brush up with me. I think I've used all my knowledge up.
Next week's quiz will be huge because who will take the lead? It is currently 4-4. Next week is massive. I suggest you both have a good week of research. As always, thank you to Reece who sends in the quiz because tonight was an absolute
legend.
Stormer. James and Will, it is 4-4. This has been the West Ham Show. We talked all about Palace. We were delighted to have Jeff Pike on. Next week, we'll be talking Everton. And of course, the West Ham quiz will be back in action.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.